Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome once again to Falkirk Daft. And we're singing, when the Bairns go up to lift the Scottish Cup, we will be there. We will be there, fresh from our Fortress Bot event on Friday night. We're back to the bread and butter. I am your host, John McInally. And as ever, joined by the Ginger Gordon Pod, the main band, the one-man band in the main stand. He is Mr. Ross Wayne. How are you, Ross?
Good evening, sir. How are we doing? Are you all right?
Yeah, not bad. We've reached Monday after a hectic weekend. Let's first of all talk about Fortress Brockville. We did the night at the Enshira Friday night, just gone. Four fantastic guests on stage. John Tiger McLaughlin, Crawford Baptie, Davey Nichols, and the one and only Kevin McAllister as well. Slight nerves from both of us before we went up on stage and did our bit, but it went really well, Ross.
It did, buddy. I'm glad we've done it, and I'm glad we're post event now, because it means we can relax for a bit as well, can't we? But listen, what a fantastic night! Like, genuinely, what a fantastic night it was. You're right, there was a wee bit of nerves at the beginning, and before we went on, but as soon as we were on, we felt a wee bit more comfortable and in our groove, as we usually are on here. I think it helped the fact that it was quite dark, because it just you can't see hardly anybody out there anyway. Really good night. And as you said, the stories that came from the legends was just out of this world, wasn't it?
It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. There was a slight faux pas on my part. Obviously, before we got the guys up on stage, I went round and sort of spoke to Crunchy and Crawford. You know, first time I met John Tiger McLaughlin, absolute gentleman. I met John Markey, was brilliant there as well, who is
fantastic, wasn't it?
For anyone who doesn't know, I mean, like, he played, I think, over 400 games. I might be wrong, but certainly over 350 games. It might be over 400 games for Falkirk. But you think of in those days, you know, in the 60s, you know, when there was less games, it's incredible, incredible. He was there with Tiger, who actually, he keeps going to the games, but so I was going around all the tables and just speaking to Crunchy, speaking to Crawford, saying, listen, if there's any like stories you want us to lead into, just give us a bit. So Crawford had said, asked me about the time I was a sub on the bench at Celtic. Davey Nichols says there was this one woman when we were playing Clyde who was at me and asked me about that. So we did that. But I went to Sir John Tiger McGough and said, you know, John, we'll talk about your career. I want to talk a wee bit about when you're in America. You played against Pele. Obviously, you played against Alex Ferguson. He's like, don't mention that, man. I went, right, okay. And I want to know the story. I want you, but no. You shut it down. Shut it down. Like, don't ask me about Alex Ferguson. Unfortunately, I forgot to give Ross that memo. So when we got up on stage, Ross, I don't know, I had our pre-prepared questions. Ross went through. So, John, tell us about that time. You know, you played with Alex Ferguson. Did you always know he was going to be a manager? And he just shut it down, didn't he?
He did, didn't he? He was just like, I don't want to talk about it. And then you looked at me and went, oh yeah, we're not going to talk about that. And I went, so moving on.
I'm just like, that was slightly awkward, but listen, the stories we did get out of the guys was absolutely brilliant. Davey Nichols, by the way, Jesus, he could be playing midfield today, by the way. He is.
Like, John, he looks like a brick shit house, doesn't he?
Oh my God, I shook his hand and I was like, holy shit, Davey. And he was absolutely brilliant. He just shut down everything. Young team were in, he was shutting them down, telling them to basically shut up.
There was a couple of, he was getting a couple of bits of banter back at him, and he was like, you shut it out, right? This is it, I'm coming down there. He was properly all on it when he was like,
he was brilliant. I don't know yet who was the hardest on that stage, John Tiger McLaughlin, Davey Nichols, or Crawford Baptie. In fact, Crunchy's a Camelin boy, so he could.
I was say, I don't think we can rule wee Crunchy out as well, but you're right. I think the stories from all four were just absolutely out of this world. Davey probably surprised me the most, obviously. The story he was telling about the Christmas night out at an Italian restaurant in Camelin that we've still to find out. Where the hell is there an Italian restaurant?
I love the shout out. I think it was you who said, Lemay's.
It's the only Italian I can think of in Camelin. And he was dressed up as a sugar plum fairy. Can you imagine Davey Nicholls dressed up as a sugar plum fairy?
I know, because he said they got the actual bus back into the town to Rosie's.
Aye, the service bus.
Which is unbelievable.
He obviously challenged thereafter. There was a bit of banter because we shared the Austin story about me giving him a smaller version of a trophy versus the one that we needed to keep for the bar back in the day. And I think he called me out a couple of times on it. And then I woke up Saturday to a couple of messages just saying, Big David Nichols, the Sugar Plum Freddy, he's coming after you, is he? I was like, aye, I think so.
it was a cracking night. I end up in XOXO, Ross, I can't believe it. Behind the wall, went up to behind the wall, and a couple of the troops, we all ended up in XOXO. Shout out to Andy and Big Barry as well, who bought me a couple of drinks as well. Andy actually got a taxi down the road to, and it was that way I woke up in the morning. I've not been out till 3 o'clock in the morning for a long, long time. And end up at like out till 3 in XOXO. So shared a taxi down the road with Andy, who was also stayed in Larbert. And I woke up and I was like, where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? And I couldn't find it for the life of me. And I was like to messaging him going, do you mind what taxi we were in or that? Then I found obviously my wallet in my shoe.
Just on this, I actually got a picture sent to me at 10 past 3. From Mr. Andrew Gilchrist saying, sharing a taxi home with your buddy. Wow.
Forgot about that. There you go.
there's one for the socials this week, guys.
So, brilliant night had by all. Hopefully you guys, whoever made it along, really enjoyed it as well. We certainly did. And already we're talking about plans for the next one. We don't. Is it once a year? Is it twice a year? Listen, we'll make it happen because we raised loads of money. The main reason, the focus about it was raising loads of money for the Youth Academy and re-establishing that as well. So don't know the 100%. Final total yet, but we certainly, between the silent auction, the raffle, and obviously ticket sales as well.
200 there on the night, plus, as you say, mate, the raffle and the silent auction and what have you. And it looked like there was a good turnout. The young team were in fine spirits on the...
I don't know what member of the young team, 7:40, getting carried out at 7:40. That was a tremendous bit of work, by the way.
That was an effort, wasn't it? It was pretty special. But I'm hoping he's all right. I'm sure he will be. And it was just, as you say, John, a phenomenal night. We obviously... We did our intro bit, then the dinner, and then obviously we had the about an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours on the Q&A with the guys. And I think we were there for about an extra hour after, just chatting to people, loads of photos getting done. The Brockville Gate seemed to go down really well, having that there as well, didn't it?
Yeah, no, it went down really, really well. And obviously... our sponsor, Peter, was there from Haldane Construction as well. Didn't get the chance to really catch up with Peter and his wife Marie, who was there as well. But remember, they do sponsor Falkirk Daft. See that transition that I did there, Ross? They've been sponsors all season. If you want any construction work to do done round it, whether it's an extension or any projects you've got planned, speak to Peter and the team over at Haldane Construction, already sponsoring the Russell Appy legend stand, and they've got their logo on the side of the North Stand as well. I'm completely committed to Falkirk FC. They've really bought into the club this season, in the last couple of seasons. So yeah, if you are looking to do any construction work, Peter is your man. They take a collaborative approach, design, budget and management of any project you have. Won tons of awards, including ones from the Federation of Master Builders. And you know, they are been in this community and doing stuff for decades. So if you want quality and loyalty, Haldane Construction are your folk. Get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk, or you can find them on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook. Email them info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Before we get actually into the cup games, immediately we've got to talk about the Scottish Cup draw, which got done just last night. Happy with the draw, Ross?
Yes, very much so, buddy. I think the only way it could have been better is if we'd drawn them at home. But I actually quite like a Scottish Cup away day. I probably prefer it to a home game. Although I suppose it depends on who you're playing. But Bonnyrigg in January, be a big Bairns crowd go through, I'm sure. Probably all ticket, I would think. That'll be a bit of a ticket scramble, actually, for that one. So hopefully we all get. But really chuffed. Do you know, they've not got a great record in League Two this season. I had a look. I don't think they've won many home games either. So yeah, really, really good chance at progression here if we bring out a game.
I mean, it could have been a lot worse. I think in that kind of fourth round, you want, before you get one of the big boys, you want, I mean, it would have been great if it was at home, but you want, you know, that kind of, because we obviously had Darvel, Wick, Awa and Ayr last night, but you want to kind of build until you to hit one of the big boys. I mean, obviously from the club perspective, they're looking, in terms of money, they're looking at Celtic and Rangers. I mean, Bucky Thistle, that's worth $500,000 to those guys. I mean, what a difference that's going to make.
That's going to be it.
I know. But yeah, it's good to get going. Hopefully we can get a result against Bonnyrigg Rose away. And the way we're playing, you would certainly fancy it. So the tie's to be played in January. Looking forward to that. Before we move on, Ross, on tour stories, we had a few left over from, we were obviously off last week, but I had a few left over from the other week there. I want to get through here. Graham Neary got in touch, said, I went to Budavici in 2003, having injured my ankle ligaments 2 weeks before. My then 14-year-old sister came with me. I remember the 50p pints and getting drunk on £2 fish in a stick and matches against some Czech teams on the Saturday. There was a barbecue in some random park on the Sunday where I asked Eddie May if the Champman legend that is Tonto Makoko was on trial with us, spoke English, and only to be told he is English. Remember Tonton?
I do remember Tonton.
He was on trial.
He was here as well, didn't he?
Well, it's aye. I remember Yogi always going, Tonton! Tonton! Yelling after him. Didn't he obviously get offered the contract, but I remember him being on trial with us. While it's not strictly on tour, the sight of a train full of Dunfermline fans rolling into Grahamston Station on the way to Hams in 2009 and met with a rousing chorus of Fritz as a Pfeiffer by Falkirk fans was brilliant. That's from Graham. Got another tour story as well here from Leslie, talking about Vaduz. She says, so a trip to Vaduz, like a lot of other Bairns went via Stansted, then on to Friedrichshafen. We left Glasgow around 6 o'clock and then I had a couple of hours to kill in Stansted. My brother is an air traffic controller and he happened to be working that day, so I called him and asked him to pass a message to the pilot. He said he'd see what he could do. So the flight from Stansted takes off and shortly afterwards the pilot comes on to do the usual, we'll be cruising at 34,000 feet, expect to land at 2:30, etc, etc. He then says, I believe there are some football fans on the flight today and I've been asked to read out a message by the air traffic, which I don't really understand, but here it goes. And he says, Eddie May's disco pants are the best. That's amazing. And that's how the pilot started a Falkirk song at 34,000 feet. There you go. What a belter that is. Listen, keep the on tour stories coming up. We'll do another week on this because they've been brilliant so far. So if you could do that, send them on to our email. You can either email myself or Ross, ross@falkirkdaft.co.uk, or me, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk. Easy as that. Right, so let's talk about the Scottish Cup while we Ross. Let's deal with the Trust Trophy first of all, because I think if we just pass by an amazing result against Dundee United, it'd be remiss of us. I watched on the telly, you were at the game, Ross. Let's talk through it.
Yeah, what a night. Absolutely, what a night, buddy. I must admit, before the game, when I saw their team, I thought, Christ, okay, they're going for it tonight. It's a strong team. However, as did we. We didn't make, I don't think we made any changes, did we, that night from a starting position anyway, I don't think. And, but we were all over them that
night. Straight from the start. It was straight from kickoff. Unbelievable. Pressure. And obviously, after a couple of minutes, Morrison gets his goal.
Mm. It was. And it was fantastic cross in by Leon, who's just Mr. Consistent, as we talk about almost every week. And Morrison probably couldn't have hit the ball any better, and I'm sure it nutmegged the keeper as well, which was always a good one for the TV.
No, exactly. I mean, And we were creating chance after that, and you think, what's good? It was an unbelievable performance. But then, unfortunately, you know, we had poor Sam.
I know, I felt bad for him.
I mean, he's had a mistake in him. I mean, they had one at Thistle. We've talked about it on here before. Cause they've got two young goalkeepers, there are going to be mistakes. And it was a bit horrendous one. And he came out on Twitter afterwards, held up his hands on it.
Which was really big of him. He didn't need to do it. He could have just bypassed it. Big win. Didn't need to say anything. But I thought that was a huge show of character from him. To do that. And as you said, Johnny, he has had a couple of mistakes, but he has saved us as well with some massive saves this year. And do you know what was a measure of it? I noticed, don't know if that came across on the TV, but like, so there wasn't a big Dundee United crowd there. What was it, 400 that came down or something, right? So
it was quite disappointing, actually.
I thought it was really disappointing as well. There wasn't much noise when they scored. Plus, it was a bit of a weird goal, wasn't it? Like, he fumbled it in.
Yeah.
But the Falkirk crowd, no one was having a go at him. Not that you could hear anyway. No one was having a go at him.
They started singing his name, I believe.
Exactly, they did. And it just, again, it shows you where we are as a club just now.
And I said it on stage, and I said at Fortress Brockville, you know, the young team, and they've done an outstanding job, and it really is getting us over the line in jobs. I mean, and then we go 2-1 down again. You could question Sam for that one as well. He was a couple of yards probably where he should have been. But it was a great hit from Tony Walker. But and then you go on 2-1 down, you think, well, you know, it's to be expected. You know, it's Dundee United. They're, you know, the only other unbeaten team in this league aside from ourselves and Celtic. But then that second half, unbelievable. Outstanding performance.
We were relentless.
The free kick coming out, smashing the bar, and there's a big sexy Tam to put one in, you know.
Brilliant. And it was a tidy finish. Considering
I would expect nothing less from the big sexy one. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And we just kept going. We were relentless. And we used that we've used that word a lot of times in this podcast over the season, but we were relentless. You know, Dundee United, you know, pass out. And then, it was right after Tam's goal. And we had it against them when Tam did it and passed in. But the boy, I don't know what the boy was thinking. And Morrison just nips in and boom, there we go.
It was a belter of a finish. The defense, the defenders have cocked up there. But what an absolutely well-taken goal by Morrison. And he was, let's face it, Morrison was by far like the standout for us on the night. The boy was just all over the pitch. And even when you think about the goal where Eats has scored, Morrison was in and Miller were involved with that as well. And it just shows you, like, Miller, Morrison, they were just so, so dangerous.
I know, I skipped over Yeats's goal there, you know, and onto Morrison's, but, I mean... Finn, I mean, look at the reaction that everyone loved. He's such a well-loved player, Finn, because he's a youngster and he's coming up and he's learning his trade with Falkirk, you know. And you can see how much it meant to him when he went, you know, even after he's like giving it big licks and, you know, I was absolutely delighted. I think there couldn't be a more popular scorer in the team than Finn, because you could just see when he hit that in and it went home, and like the bedlam that broke up against the whole South Stand, and and everyone just were willing to get that goal for Finn. So it was great.
It was a fantastic moment for him. As you said, like the players were, every single player apart from the keeper, I think, was up celebrating with him.
Yeah.
The Kevin Palliser stand had rushed to the front. Obviously, where we were sitting in the main stand as well, like even where we were, the place was going absolutely nuts. And just as you said, there couldn't have been a more deserving guy. And I actually met him as we were leaving the stadium. We were coming out of
hospitality. What a shock. Really, Ross? Were you coming out of hospitality?
And we met him, and he just looked absolutely so proud. So fair play to him.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, Morrison could have had a hat trick. It could have been 5-2. But I mean, Miller was clean through. See if he just looked up inside, put it to the side. Miller was had a tap in.
There was no way Callum was passing.
No, of course not. Of course not. You don't really blame him. But 4-2 against Dundee United. What a performance. One of the best of the season. Probably out with the Alloa first half. It was unbelievable stuff. So through to the semi-final, which we've just had announced today. We're going to be playing a late kickoff, which is going to be live on Welsh TV and BBC Alba as well. 7:40 kickoff on Saturday night. It's the 3rd of February. Is that right?
Yeah, 3rd of February. That sounds like it potentially a messy day, John.
That sounds like it's going to be a great day out.
That's a lunchtime. Maybe that's the day that because we've been talking about doing like a Falkirk Daft pub crawl.
Oh, now we're thinking maybe that's the Falkirk Daft pub crawl day.
That's maybe the day, isn't it?
Or maybe we think about maybe doing a Falkirk Daft live show that day. This is us just brainstorming live on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, we could maybe do a Falkirk Daft live, maybe kind of mid-afternoon. Get a couple of players or former players involved in that, and that could work. Right, we'll think about that. Stick. If not, we'll definitely do the pub crawl. We'll have a think about that. So there, Trust Trophy done, ticked off. Onto the Scottish Cup on Saturday there, Ross, and it was 3-0 against Fermartin United. Again, I missed it. I had what. Probably due to XOXO, but I had loads on this weekend, so I thought I'm going to sit this one out. But from the outside looking in, it was certainly freezing. How was it in the stadium?
It was very Baltic, yes. Yeah. Absolutely Baltic. But in terms of the players, do you know, I did wonder if the cold, and this maybe sound like just this wouldn't be the case with football, but you did wonder if the conditions were maybe playing a little bit apart at the beginning, because we didn't look as, it wasn't as intense as if we've started games before. Mm-hmm. However, that being said, we probably could have and should have scored 6 or 7 during the 90 minutes.
I mean, it did look very much the case of we won the first half, and it very much looked the case, probably like Al, it's just like, job's done. You know, he made the 5 changes at the 60 minutes. Surprised, Ross, that he didn't use the squad a bit more. I mean, he went for a very strong side against them. Bearing in mind, we're playing against Montrose on Tuesday.
Indeed. I was a little surprised that there wasn't another couple of changes. I thought Jordan Allen may have started ahead of Ross McKeever.
Maybe Alfie coming in as well.
Yeah. Henderson's obviously suspended for Tuesday night, so I can understand why he started. Obviously, Spencer is injured, and we're hoping that that's not going to be the case for Tuesday night. But I like you. I thought there would have been another few changes in there, other than was it? I think it was just Hogarth was the real change, wasn't it? Oh no, Ethan Ross came in.
Ethan Ross came in as well. And let's just talk about Ethan Ross's first goal. What an absolute peach. I heard Sean in commentary saying, like, goal of the season content is going to be very hard to pick out again this season. We had some crackers last season, but oh my word.
Pure sexy. It was pure sex. Actually, it was a wee bit, did you think, remember Zidane at Hampden? When he scored that goal. And let's remember, this is Ethan Ross's poorer leg and poorer foot, bigger pardon. So for that strike, wow, absolutely wow.
It was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely brilliant. And then talking through the goals, we had Miller seemed to be involved in a lot of good things on Saturday. He really has, you know, come alive as a player. In the last month or so since he's come back, and like he seemed to be involved an awful lot, and it's great to have that balance on the left if Callum on the right. I mean, I think obviously he's keeping Alfie out of the team as well, because Alfie really came into him when he was at front.
Yeah, he's undroppable just now, John, isn't he?
Yeah,
he really is undroppable. He was my, I know we've not asked the question yet, but he's definitely up there as my man of the match for for Saturday. I just, as you said, he was like, it was a bit like Morrison with Dundee United. He was just every blade of artificial grass he touched. And it just, every chance, well, he scored as well, but every chance just seemed to kind of, he was involved in.
Yeah, I mean, him and Morrison, that's what you like to see. I mean, two wingers linking up for that goal for him. You know, Morrison cross headed home at the back post by Miller. Fantastic, yeah. You know. And he was at it again for McKeever's goal as well. You know, I mean, Ross's finish, just a big sclaff that's just went in the bottom corner. But listen, as a striker, you take them every single day of the week, don't you?
Absolutely, and he's what is he on, 9 or 10 goals now for?
He's a third, almost a third of the way to that magic 30 that you predicted, Ross.
Yeah, well, and we're just over a third of the season gone, so there you go. He's on track.
Yeah,
he's on track. But yeah, Ross, big Ross was fantastic on Saturday as well, John. Put yourself about again. He feels like he's undroppable. Like you would have played Jordan Allen on Saturday, maybe from a fitness perspective and giving him a chance. But realistically, Ross McKeever's not getting dropped anytime soon. I actually think Jordan Allen, it's probably because he's not playing, he looks a wee bit off the pace.
Yeah, I mean, there is that. I mean, you felt sorry for Jordan because obviously he came off the bench, you know, like we said, 60 minutes, 5 subs were made, you know, just mixing it up, probably with a view of Tim and Trose on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Allen, you just were willing that chance that came off the post. And then for some reason, I don't know how it stayed out. I mean, it was great work from Alfie, by the way, just because I thought Alfie's just going to hit this. But then he's just looked up, we pass. Because there was two boys in the line, so he wasn't offside. And, you know, just with Jordan Allen, you're like, just allowing it to go in.
That's it. He did all the hard work, like, in terms of the prep to get the shot away. And, that would have been nice if that had went in, if I'm being honest. Do you know who else was unlucky saying to not to score? But I thought he was phenomenal on Saturday. It was Big Pirlo himself. I thought Liam was...
he's going to be a big miss on Tuesday. You know, you saw that shot that cannoned off, you know, he had a shot which went just wide, he had that shot that just cannoned off the post. You know, he probably relishes games like that, Big Pirlo, because we're talking about Liam Henderson, by the way, just in case you're wondering. But for Martin, were quite physical, quite about it, you know, and he probably relishes that kind of game against an opponent like that. But yeah, you know, he's going to be a big miss. And, you know, we're talking here, Finney's picked up an injury in the match. We obviously got cover there in Bisland that can probably come in against Montrose. But with Brad Spencer potentially missing the midfield and Henderson suspended, you think the move would then move Finn into that midfield. So we're maybe a wee bit light in that midfield area come Tuesday.
It feels like we could be. Fingers crossed Finn's going to be fine. Fingers crossed Spencer's going to be fine, and we're not going to miss Big Hendo too much, although I think we will miss his physicality and also his height at set pieces too.
Against Montrose, we know as well, who are a big team as well.
Team, aren't they? If the worst case scenario happens and we do miss all these guys, realistically, Nesbitt's probably going to have to sit back a bit from where he normally plays. Yeah. The only other option...
Do you bring in Agyeman? That seems... With Miller, Morrison, Agyeman and McKeever, that seems a bit too much in that.
No. I think we would need to go a bit more defensive. If I'm being honest, maybe Mackie.
Playing Mackie in midfield? Really?
We brought him on there. I can't remember who we were playing. Do you remember? It was maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago. In fact, it was Edinburgh. We brought him on and he played the last sort of 20-odd minutes in a sort of defensive midfield role. I can't remember who he came on for the life of me. But he came on and he did okay.
Remember I had that big tackle.
Think of anyone else. I just can't think of anybody else that would fit in that hole.
Yeah. I mean, because you look at your options from the bench, you know, and this is where you see the squad thinning out just a wee bit in that midfield area. I just think, like you say, Agyeman or Allen, you know, they're just not going to...
Nah, it's not going to happen.
Work in that kind of, you know, front of the midfield.
Wow. could potentially play a sort of sitting midfield. The only thing is, and we've talked about him before, is he doesn't really have the dig or the, or he hasn't shown it.
He doesn't maybe have that discipline that, I mean, to track back and look at. I mean, I'm just trying to think, maybe I was going to suggest something mental there, like putting Leon McCann into midfield and then putting Mackie at left back. But I guess if you're talking about Mackie for midfield, it's probably better just keeping things as is.
Yeah.
I mean, Ethan Ross is going to be in there, Nesbitt's going to be in there, and it's one other. If Yeats is injured or in Spencer's, doesn't make it, you know, fingers crossed. I mean, we'll hear from John McGlynn in a minute, but you know, in his interview, I think it's maybe touch and go for Brad Spencer.
It doesn't sound like Spencer's going to play. Maybe he's going to make a bit if he's not trained most of last week. And they would have only really had a training session today.
They were in on Sunday as well. Let's hear from John McGlynn ahead of that game against Montrose and looking back at Fermartin.
Comfortable victory today, John. How would you sum up the game?
Yeah, very, very professional. Yeah, it took me a while to get the first goal. It was always going to be whenever we got the first goal, things would kind of like open up a little bit more. And three goals come in very quickly. But even before we scored, I think we were very much on top. Comfortable. Just getting that first goal. First goal came. Great strike by Ethan Ross. Great technique on it. Bullet into the faraway corner, high and high up. And then a great ball in for Callum. And Calvin's arriving at the back post. They got a header in, which I'm really pleased about. We're wanting Calvin to add some more goals to his game. He got a goal against Alloa earlier in the season. And good that he's coming in on that one there. Put a lot of crosses in the box. And then delighted for Big Ross that he got his goal as well. So 3-0 half time. Second half, we still continue to try and probe and get goals. It was even more damage limitation for Martin. The only disappointment would be that we didn't add to the scoreline in the second half, but very, very professional job. Never looked like losing a goal, very comfortable. And then we were allowed to sort of make five substitutions around about the hour mark, which got guys off, saving their legs for Tuesday night when we got to Montrose, and also gives guys a good bit of game time as well.
Yeah, you said three first half goals. How important is it to, you know, in a game like this where, you know, teams from that level are maybe going to try and sit back a little bit, how important is it to, you know, get the three goals at half time?
Getting the first goal is important. You know, the first goal is really important. The longer it goes that you don't get it, you know, a little bit more frustration can kick in. But we did, you know, we got that first goal. The number of crosses in before it, that came for a corner kick, which was headed out, and it was a great strike. So then to follow up very, very quickly, and then another goal very, very quickly, then it would certainly knock the stuffing out of, you know, for Martin, it would knock the stuffing out of most teams. And for Martin being from a lower level, then it would be even a bigger, you know, job for them to try and get back in the game. So, yeah, very pleased the way that we played and got the goals. And as I say, it would be, you know, professional would be the word that would be coming into this, you know, all the time with regards to how we went about it. And that's what we asked the guys to do, because we're on a really, really good run. And sometimes you can slip up in these games, you know, so the attitude's got to be right. And I think it was. And, you know, you get the job done.
There you go. You get the job done. Professional. Yeah, it was. It, like John said in his interview, and it just, you know, when you get those quick goals like we did on Saturday, it just knocks the stuffings out of sides like that. And then it becomes, in that second half, like, again, like I said, now we're happy with the 3-0. Yous are happy to get 3-0. Let's shake hands and get up the road, eh?
Away. Okay. I think, what's your take on the five subs he made all in one go?
I think when you look at the subs, it's the players that you want to be seeing getting game time. You know.
Oh no, absolutely. I think you want them on at some point. I've just never seen him go kamikaze like that before.
It's true. I mean, to not even hold one back, to just think if we pick up an injury here.
Well, that's it, and I'm thinking of Finn, because Finn looked like he should have got subbed, and we carried on, and they didn't even shout him over to say, like, "Are you all right?" He just carried on. It's maybe a mark of Finn as to how he is, but hopefully he's okay for Tuesday night, and keeping him home's not done a damage.
You put, presumably you put him into midfield and bring Bisland in. That would be the change that you make.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah, if he's fit, he'll play in the midfield. And he's, John, he's not had a bad game for us, really, has he, this season? Like, there's not been a game where right back or centre mid that he's played poorly. No, Mr. Consistent.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's been absolutely outstanding. You know, if we were talking about player of the season, potentially, I mean, it's hard to, you know, when it's hard to look at when you look at some of our attacking options, but Finn's been outstanding this season. Absolutely brilliant. Yes. Right, okay, but let's go to what you guys said about, we'll start off actually, we'll look at some of the, I think we've kind of done the Dundee United game, so let's look it seems like it was ages ago, but let's look at your reaction to the Fermartin game there at the weekend. Do you want to kick us off, Ross?
Yeah, of course. So Graham said a straightforward win, Fermartin came with a plan to keep it respectable, and it worked. None of the five subs who came on looked better than who they replaced, which is a worry. Yeats got a knock late on as well, hopefully okay. And Tuesday night is very, very important, as is Saturday. I know we're going to talk about
it. Well, absolutely. Craig says, comfortable, felt like a training game. Jordan Allen looks miles off it. And no wonder he can't get a start.
And I suppose it's a chicken and the egg situation, John. He's not getting game time, so he's maybe not going to start. So. But I do like Jordan, and I think he's a good finisher. I know he's doing a dry spell, but hopefully picks up. Ian says, all over them at the start, but it just wouldn't go in, or we just took the wrong decision. Ethan Ross's goal was excellent and broke them down. Second half lacked intensity for me, and we seemed content with the 3-0, just as you said.
Yeah, Ali says, game won the first half, but subs didn't impress at all, and understandable why they're not pushing into the team. Stand out again from Finn, took a few good knocks, but kept playing on.
Yeah, brilliant. Craig says, another Craig, strolled it, their captain. It was a right see you next Tuesday as well, applauding his own player for fouling Morrison. Every tackle they put in was late, but we dealt with them easily. Announce Hearts at home in the next round. Well, Craig's disappointed. I can't even remember who Hearts got. Oh, they did. Hearts got a wee Edinburgh derby against...
Yeah, Spartans.
Spartans. That'll be a tight crowd in there, won't it?
Nah, I'll tell you what, that'll be cracking. That'll be a cracking wee match, that. Yeah. Charlie leads us on to say, should have really hammered them by more. Some goal for Ethan Ross to open the scoring, and a great reward for getting the loan deal extended, of course. We didn't talk about that. Shout out for Falkirk Dafty for today. Refused a cup holder at half-time, and the lid went on one of the coffees and I spilt over me. So he couldn't get the lid went all over him, and he spilt all his coffee over him. Well done, you, Charlie.
At least he would have had his hands warm for the brief second that he was burning.
True.
Clarke said, second half was a total non-event. For Martin, we're basically 10 men behind the ball, and Falkirk could not break them down. They had a big central defence, which dealt comfortably with all the crosses. Is Bapti after a game? Fortunately, Ethan Ross got a great ping into the top bin.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, you want to see, I guess if it'd be interesting to see if we'd kept on like what would be the first team or the starting 11 to see how they'd get on, because that's going to be something we're going to have to come up against a lot. Have we come against a kind of performance like that? A lot of teams in the league have really tried to play.
We have tried to play a bit of football. Yeah, that we're not going to play a team like Fermartin again this season, if I'm being honest, but I'd be shocked if we do.
Bonnie Rigg Rose might do the same.
They may do, that's true, although I think Bonnie Rigg are probably a bit better than Fermartin. But I think if we're looking ahead to this week, we know Montrose are a big physical team. Last time we just threw balls into the box, what's his face that used to play with Dundee?
John Dillon. Yeah,
he just headed every single thing out. So listen, maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe we do need to go a bit more low, hard and direct.
Yeah, no. Colin says, fuck winter football, quite simply.
It was Baltic, to be fair to Colin. And finally, our resident message from Willie Stroker. Another victim falls to the Falkirk cum machine.
Amazing. Right, I'm going to make it hard for you, Ross. Go take the 2 weeks across those two cup games. Who is the Falkirk daft rated player?
Oh. If I was individual, I would have said Morrison for United and Miller this week, but if we're saying both, I think it has to be Morrison. It's going to have to be Morrison across the two games for me. What about you?
It's going to have to be Morrison. Three goals in the two games. You're going to have to give it to him, aren't you?
Yeah, he's on form as well. Just his overall play was.
Oh no, it's two goals in two games. I'm taking a go away from Calvin Miller there. He set up one. He was Calvin. It's a flip of the coin between Calvin Miller and Morrison, I think. But special mention again to Finn. Gets a special mention every week because he's been outstanding. And again, the unsung hero Leon McCann just keeps going under that radar. In fact, the whole team are just I love all those guys. Tam Lang, Leah, Big Liam, Perlo. They're brilliant. Love them all.
You fell in love.
No, I'm honestly, I think a lot of Focus supporters, you know, when you looked at the end of that season last season, the way it kind of trickled out, you know, the first 6 months we did really, really well. You know, we had the wee cup run. But, you know, I think the team that John McQuinn's built and put in there and got the players that if we had them last year, we really would have pushed Dunfermline a hell of a lot more. And maybe, you know, it's all ifs, buts and maybes, but it might have been, you know, a cup final. It might have been potentially a league. Certainly the playoff. Because you kind of see Tam Lang giving away the goals that we did in that playoff. But ifs, buts, and maybes, absolutely as ever with Falkirk. But this team are a team that people are falling in love with. If they can get us over the line in the league, they can get us far in the cup. I mean, they will go down as legendary, I have to say, because we're unbeaten. I mean, the best start to our, you know, in our history. And long may it continue.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Haldane Construction Services.
And hopefully it continues against Montrose on Tuesday night, Ross. You are heading up on the Elliott supporters bus, is that right?
Yeah, myself and a few of the usual suspects will be heading up. Hopefully there'll be a good crowd travelling up as well, although looking at the weather, it's going to be a night for a big jacket and probably some sort of tammy as well, because it's to be absolutely Baltic again. But it is what it is, and I like Lynn's Park. It's better on a Saturday when you've been up there for a day out, but it's still a good wee crowd.
I was out with he's been on this podcast before, my Montrose supporting friend Mark, just talking about him, and I was saying, you know, is a midweek game a worry for you? Because you've got these boys coming from a full-time job and then into playing a big important league one. Does that work against you? And he says, I'd be interested to see Montrose's form when it comes to midweek games. We went up there last season and beat them. That was Brad McKay, wasn't it?
Yeah, indeed, that's right. It was the middle April game. I remember, was it two goals from Kai Kennedy from memory? I remember he scored one, a belter of a free kick. Can't remember who scored the other goal, but it could have been Kennedy. But Brad McKay, that must have been one of his last few games which I played for us. But yeah, it will be a tough night. I think it will. That said, I think if we play like we can play and we bring our proper A game, we'll be too much for Montrose on the night.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, Montrose are always a worry. They've kind of started and started. I mean, that smashing one against Everton, Edinburgh a couple of weeks ago, lost the last league game there. Who were they playing? Was it Hamilton they played? That was, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. They've been a wee bit up and down this season, but I certainly think they'll be there and thereabouts for the playoff again this season. The boy Hester, who they got from Elgin, their record signings, he was pretty good when he was down at the stadium. Let's face the fact, they gave us a hard game at the stadium if it hadn't been for that absolute screamer from Morrison. It'll be tough, but you know, and of course we've got to deal with the Angus Cafu as well, Ryan Williamson, who appears to play every game for them.
He must have some sort of deal with his contract that he doesn't get paid if he's injured or something, John, because there's no way this guy's went from, well, essentially being a tampon to a panty filler. Is that what they normally wear? I don't know, but do you know what I mean? He's just he's never missed a minute. for Montrose this season.
Mental.
It's insane.
Absolutely mental. Donald Johnson Stato is back and he says, hope you guys recovered from Friday. I hear it was a great night. On to important league business this week. Two huge games. Firstly, away to Montrose, we have a pretty good record in SPFL League One at Links Park. We played six, won three, drawn two, and lost one. I had no idea we had that good a record up there, by the way. That's not bad. Scoring 12 goals to Montrose's 9 with a 67% win rate. There you go. Our total record at Links Park is played 23, won 12, drawn 7. We've only lost 4 there, a 61% record. On to Cove. We've only played Cove 4 times at home with 1 win, 1 draw, and 2 losses, 38%. This must be approved upon, says Donald. So let's talk about Cove. This is a huge week in Falkirk. You know, but if we can go into the Montrose game, we get a result there, we immediately find ourselves 6 points in front of Hamilton. Then we go into Cove. I'm not too sure who they've got. I've not even looked at the fixtures to see.
Ackies are away tomorrow night to, I want to say, Annan Athletic. I think it's Annan.
Who'll be reeling a bit after that mental 5-4 game at the weekend there against Dumbarton.
They're away to Annan, John. So probably not an easy win on paper.
I mean, it's easier than, in fairness, the game we have, right enough. But Annan picking up form, 2 draws in the last 5 for them.
Yeah, no, they are. It's fingers crossed Annan can get something tomorrow night, because as much as we don't want Cove gaining any ground this week, we don't want Hamilton doing that either. So, yeah, it's a massive, massive week. Probably the biggest week of the season so far, I would say. It'll make us or break us, and I just hope we make us, because this, as we've said already constantly in this podcast, there's something different about the club this year. There's something different with the fans. We all feel it. You felt it on Friday night as well, John. Like, how nice was it on Friday night? And the fact that you had a couple hundred Bairns fans, everybody's in good fettle. We're all up for everything the club's doing just now, and we're all on the same page. And it needs to keep going. We need to get the hell out of this league.
No, exactly. The worry, obviously, with co-visiting is all those kind of markers that you look at as a football supporter. So we obviously have Paul Hartley coming back. Mm-hmm. He'll be desperate for a win. And, you know, the fans are going to be right over him, and he'll be geeing up his team to get that. And because everyone's going to be on top of him, you know, from minute one. And we have a returning player in Roman Burrow, who is the form striker in the league. He's got a hat trick in his last outing, 12 goals in the top scorer in the week. He will be desperate to get up, John McGowan.
Mm. Listen, two big reasons why we need to win on Saturday. And the third reason, obviously, being we just want to win and stay top of the league. But for me, and I know it shouldn't be about individuals, but I detest Paul Hartley. And as much as people loved Roman Burrow, I never felt it, if I'm being honest.
Really?
No, I never felt it.
I always thought, I mean, there's obviously a reason that John McGlynn, and we can't question John McGlynn's decision with what we're doing just now, but it was always a striker I thought that offered us something different. You know, I think in Ross McKee, where we found that player that we need to get us out of League One, but always when you look at the bench, Roman Burrow offers you something different. Jordan Allen's the fox in the box goal scorer. Roman Burrow's the type of player that could get in behind the back fours, run at players, and he also had that ability to hold up the ball as well. That's why I would like to have kept him on, but there's a reason he hasn't been.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. I think if we're just looking at the football outcomes, the boy knows how to put the ball in the net, right? And he did do that to a degree for us as well. But if the rumours are true that he was a bit of a bad egg in the changing room, wasn't fully committed to the football club either at times, whether it was on or off the park, then we're better off without him, because the changing room this year is all as one. The club are all as one, and we don't need anyone that's not on the same page. So, do you know what? You're right, John. He'll be desperate to score on Saturday. The defenders need to just keep him really marked really tightly, and I'm sure Donaldson, I'm sure Lang, I'm sure all the boys will be up for that.
He'll not get out of Lang's back pocket. Yeah. Who am I kidding? He's no face big Tam yet, you know.
Exactly. And I think you're right about the fans. Will be everybody will be on Mr. Hartley's.
Everyone out of the games, because obviously they took points off us on the first game. But this is the one that if John McGlynn needs to G up his players for anything, the fans, this is the one out of all the games. You look at the teams in the league, right? So Hamilton, I've not got that much bad things to say against Hamilton. You look at the teams down the league, I've not got that much bad to say about most of them. But Paul Hartley, I've got a lot of bad things to say about them. And the supporters all feel that because of what he effectively did to this club.
You know, it wasn't just what he did, though, John. His attitude was absolutely stinking as well. But, like, I don't know why I was shocked about how he came across, because he's always been a cunt. Like, as a player. He was, wasn't he? Like, as a player, he was a wee cunt. And as a manager, he's a smelly cunt. So he just, like, I would love nothing better. Genuinely, I just want to dick them on Saturday, see them. He's got a big, long journey up the road. Fuck off.
Then down that note, I think that'll be Falkirk Daft for this week. Predictions for the games this week, Ross?
Tuesday night, I think it'll be a little bit tighter. I'm going to say 2-1 Bairns. What do you think?
I'll go for a cheeky one now up the road. Or down back down the road. Back down the road. Right, Cove Rangers.
I'll say what you've just said. So any win will do, like 1-0 would do it. Yeah. But if there was one week where everything just clicked and we give someone a cocking, it would be Saturday. So 4-0 Falkirk on Saturday.
Yes, love it. Listen, I'm going to take 2-1. I think Romano Burrow will definitely get a goal, but I think we'll hopefully have enough. They've clicked really good. I mean, the form team in the league at the moment, like they've got last six, I think they've won. We've dropped obviously points against Hamilton, we dropped points against Queen of the South as well, but they've kind of motored into that third spot now, and you know they're 8 points off us, so they've got a big goal to catch up. You know, they've got, they're 5 points off Hamilton, they're 8 points off us. They'll be looking to manoeuvre as a full-time team to secure, like, they'll still have aspirations with the title, absolutely 100%. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, fingers crossed for Saturday and Tuesday as well.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry, there was no guest pundits. It's been a bit of a rush job, a bit of a hectic weekend. But don't worry, the guest pundits. And we'll look to be previewing with supporters again in the coming weeks as well, and obviously we're still looking for your tour on tour stories, and I think we'll start another search for a player because I quite enjoyed that as well. So yeah, that will all be on the go next week. And thank you very much for listening. We're here every week on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and thanks again to Haldane Construction for all their support on the podcast. And you can get merch for Christmas. It's coming up Christmas, and we've got deals on our merch website. Just go to merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk right now to get some cheeky deals, get your Christmas presents in. That's it for Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, Ross.
Expect the unexpected, buddy. I'm on the bounce.